Welcome to MindTap, a scientific perspective on mental health. Each week, we will investigate a unique aspect of mental health, providing insights from individuals and the local community. I'm really excited to be joined on Zoom by Rick Ponratz, who is the director of Idaho State University's Counseling and Testing Center, who's here today to talk to me about 2020 in review, the lessons that we can learn from 2020, and what we can take forward into 2021, which will hopefully be a better year for everybody. So, Rick, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scott. It's a delight to be here, and Happy New Year.
Thanks very much. So, 2020 has been a bit of a mess, I think it's fair to say. Has it been a challenge for you guys at counseling and testing?
Yeah, I think 2020 has been a challenge for all humans, I guess, this year. And so contrary to popular belief, counselors are humans too. So yeah, we've had a struggle this year, but we've really been, I think, inspired a lot by how hard our students are working and they're persevering and get a lot of satisfaction from being able to be a part of their success.
So you guys have transitioned to online, not online learning, that's the students. You guys have been transitioning to online counseling this year. How has that been for counselors? Is that a new skill they've had to learn, or is that something that they get training in?
Yeah, it's something that most of our counselors didn't have training in before. We saw the pandemic going through Washington, and so we had all of our counselors do a crash course in certifications on telehealth. And we were live doing telehealth with all of our clients on the first day that ISU transitioned to distance learning. So we were able to do that pretty seamlessly. We had a good response from students. They've really appreciated being able to have continued access to their counselors. And so overall, as far as all things 2020 have gone, this transition has gone quite well.
Well, under your supervision, it sounds like the Counseling and Testing Center was one of the most prepared groups on campus for the pandemic.
Some of my coworkers tease my assistant director, Jen, and I for being a little paranoid, but this time it paid off.
Yeah, it really did pay off. I was actually taking an ethics class with Dr. Megan Warnerman, who's in the political science department, and none of the other professors were talking about it, but she's a specialist in disaster management. And I think she saw it coming as well. So we were super prepared as well. One of the things I've heard is that online therapy can actually be quite useful because it removes some of the barriers for some people seeking help. So, for instance, they don't have to sit in a lobby, which can be quite intimidating. They don't actually have to travel to the site. So for some people, travel can be a problem. Have you found that there's actually been a bit of a silver lining and you've seen new people come forward? Or has the standard and the quality of the therapy that you've been able to provide been affected?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And it's certainly changed. In some ways, it certainly changed for the better. And then in other ways, we're looking forward to being in person again. One of the ways that it's changed for the better is the percentage of our appointments that someone just doesn't show up for has dropped. And that's because if a student forgot they had an appointment until the last minute, rather than thinking about having to shower and get in the car and drive and find parking and do all those things, they can think about it at the last minute and just jump on the Zoom call. So it's been really convenient in those ways. We also saw a huge increase in our utilization over the summer because students who normally would go home over the summer and not be here to have counseling now suddenly continue with their counselors. So we were up 86% over the previous summer as far as our number of students served. And so that was pretty dramatic.
Wow, 86. And you were able to respond to that upsurge?
We were, yeah. It was a much busier summer than summer's past, but yes, we were.
Wow, that's fantastic. So I guess I wanted to try and get into what are some of the lessons that we can learn from 2020 and the way we've had to sort of be adaptive and responsive to these different challenges that we've faced, and what can students really expect when they're coming back onto campus next year?
Yeah, I think that's a great question as well, because part of the difference between, you know, pain and suffering is having a purpose, you know, and if we can find a purpose in this pain that we've been in, then we can feel more motivation in going forward. And as I look back on the last year, it really comes across clearly that the isolation that we felt and the distance from one another has had a detrimental effect on all of us as human beings. And I think that our students have really felt that as well, as feeling increased feelings of loneliness and separation from people they care about. And so my hope is, as we go into 2021, one of the lessons that we learn is the importance of that real and genuine personal contact with one another. and that we make more of an effort to have those genuine conversations and we're real with one another and we maybe do a little bit less through social media and other things like that. And we spend a little more time with each other in person as soon as we're able.
Yeah, this idea of social isolation is something that just keeps coming up and up and up as I work through these episodes each week. When I explored being a student during the pandemic and I spoke to President Satterley, that was a topic that we just had to spend a fair bit of time breaking down and what students could do for each other. And I talked to President Satterley about whether or not we should be working these conversations into the online learning environment. And we had a really interesting conversation about whether or not it was the university's responsibility and whether or not we could expect lecturers and other teachers to actually take on this responsibility or whether or not they should just be offloading these tasks to you guys at counselling and testing. So I don't know what your opinion is on how much should be happening in the classroom.
Yeah, I guess I'd support a middle path there that says that if a student comes forward to any faculty staff member at ISU and says they're struggling, that they're met with someone who is compassionate and caring for them and listens to them and does make sure that student knows about resources, about counseling, and that that faculty or staff member doesn't feel pressure to have to be a counselor, but that they can just be the caring humans that they are and support that student and then connect that student with resources like counseling and testing for continued support. The thing we know about relationships are that it really takes both people wanting to engage in it. So to say that it's this group's responsibility or that group's responsibility, it really cuts out the core part of the relationship. And that means that I, as a staff member, take the responsibility to check in with and engage with students. And then the student has that responsibility to be willing to engage back in that connection. And that's how they'll feel most supported, is if they're making that effort to engage as well. And that's how they'll feel more engaged in their coursework and succeed.
My theory is that because 2020 has been tough and there has been a bigger strain on our mental health, there is going to be this silver lining in that it has actually, for a lot of people, engaged them in this conversation and thought process around mental health that they might not otherwise have had. Is that something that you think is actually real, or am I just making that up? You know, is there going to be a silver lining from all this?
Well, I think you're absolutely right in that young people, especially, you know, 18 to 24-year-olds are really talking a lot more about their mental health. And they have been doing that more than older generations in the recent years, but they're really doing it a lot more now. And I think it's the responsibility of older generations to really listen and to listen to what students are telling them and to be ready to have a conversation about that and support those students. And that maybe some of the older generations like mine and people older than me can maybe learn a few things from the way students are recognizing this aspect of their health and valuing it and valuing the importance of working towards it in the ways that those students do.
Well, Rick, before we sign off on this episode, is there anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I guess for students, I would really want to say the end is in sight with this, that we have another, it's going to be a hard semester. I mean, the similar challenges that we've had, but we can overcome that and we can engage and there is light at the end of this tunnel. So we just have to keep pushing and we'll get there. And for faculty or staff that might be listening or family members of students that might be listening, I'd really want to encourage you to take time to connect with the students. And if they are struggling, please make sure you let them know about our services. We're free and we're confidential. So we are more than happy to help all of our ISU students with their needs.
Well, thanks very much, Rick. Join me next week for MindTap, where I talk with Dr. Risa Ledbetter and counselling student Hannah Brinzer about grief and mental health.